Good morning and welcome to Fletcher First Baptist. We hope that you feel that you can make yourself welcome in our Father's house this morning. We're going to have our children's choir to come up and sing for us this morning. Amen. Isn't he wonderful? Now, as we'll have some marching music, and anyone who would help us with the adult choir, come on up and sing for God's glory. All you fellers out there who can sing some good bass, come on up here. We're going to need your help this morning.
Glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, when we need a blessing, say, Great expectations. One of these golden day breaks when Jesus comes may not be that long, and it may be a long time. We'll ride to be with him in the air. But until then, we're rejoicing that we will be going to be home with him, and we're asking God to help us here on this earth, because we're not home yet. We're pilgrims and strangers passing through. Let's go to God in prayer, asking him to meet the needs of the hour, and I know he's able to, certainly believe he will. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to do things a little bit different this morning. I'm going to have a quick prayer, and then we'll sing, and then we'll have our deacon come pray with us right before I preach this morning. And I certainly need that right before preaching now. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful indeed that we can call you Lord and look to you and trust you for every need we have this morning. Lord, there's a lot of people hurting that we know. Our nation's hurting in sin. Lord, I pray that you'll forgive us as a nation, as a people that haven't done what we ought to do. And I know you're able to help us. And God, we do trust you this morning. Not only us here at Fletcher, but God, there's people gathered all across the world today. And different languages, different places, calling on your name. And you can help us all because you're our God. You died for us. And we love you. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that we can trust you, looking to you for the furtherance of the service today, for your blessings. Help us, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. We do welcome everyone. Thank God that we have the ability to be here and the health to be here. A lot of the people do not have the health to be here, and we pray for them. All the visitors, we welcome you. If you'll look ahead of you, get the visitor's card in the back of the pew, fill it out and put an offering plate, and we'll get back to song service. And trust God to meet our needs this morning. I know he's able to. Certainly believe he will.
All right, I said 181, but I meant 180. So starts on 180. Go ahead and stand on up. Hey, when we get to that, we don't have a lot of fillers. When we get to the chorus, I want to know just as loud. People can sing it loud.
There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the Savior shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy. Everybody will be happy over there.
14. We're going to slow it down just a minute for you. Number 14. Still singing about heaven.
Close our eyes, long, weary day.
number 76. We're going to do number 76. I don't know about you, but we've had a lot of people go on this year. One day we're going to meet them in the morning. I don't know if it affects you or not, but that if you're saved this morning, you can meet them in the morning. First half of this song service has been about heaven. The next half is going to be about how you get there. If you ain't here, this altar's. If you ain't going to heaven, this altar's always open.
Oh yeah.
It's number 76. Number 76, my friend.
Jesus spoke to me one day, praise His holy name, said He died my debts to pay for my sin and shame. Were His servants here below, thus He spoke to me. I believe and now I know I have been set free. Oh yes, my Jesus spoke to me.
Jesus spoke to me.
Jesus spoke to me.
When
I was lost. He said He gave His life to set me free. Oh yes, Christ
Jesus spoke to me.
Jesus spoke to me.
Jesus spoke to me.
I was blind. And now I see. I'm glad I heard my Savior speak. So did He speak to me.
Sing like you heard Him speak.
I shall not forget the day when I heard His voice. Said my sins were washed away, made my soul rejoice. It is finished, thus look me, I have paid it all. Sweet relief it was to me when I heard His voice. Yes, Christ
Jesus spoke to me.
Jesus spoke to me.
Jesus spoke to me.
He said He gave His life to set me free. Oh yes, Christ
Jesus spoke to me.
Jesus spoke to me.
Jesus spoke to me.
I was blind. Now I see. I'm glad I heard my Savior speak. So did He speak to me.
The second verse instead of the third verse. You look at those words while we sing it. We need the second verse again, okay?
I shall not forget the day when I heard His voice. Said my sins were washed away, made my soul rejoice. It is finished, that's the key, I have made it all. Sweet relief it was to me when I heard His call. Yes, my
Jesus spoke to me.
Jesus spoke to me.
Jesus spoke to me.
Speak to me. for one song, number 12 in the black book. Turn to page number 493 in your blue hymnal. Stand with us and sing. And I hope that you can say this morning, so that you can see those who've gone on before, that it is well with your soul. If you can say it this morning, sing it like you mean it.
Like a river. Sorrows like sea.
If the ushers please come, we'll receive the morning offering. And again, so good to see everyone in the house of the Lord's morning. All the visitors, we definitely welcome you. And God's been so good to us. Looking at all these beautiful youth up here, Sister Gail and Brother Gary Wilkie, had them all up their house yesterday, last night, this afternoon, for a time of fellowship and food, and it was so wonderful. Let's go to God in prayer, trust Him to meet each and every need according to His riches and glory.
Dear Lord, I thank you for allowing us to be in your house this morning. I thank you for the service so far, dear God. I know you got something for us today, Lord, and I thank you, dear God, for letting us be here. I pray, God, you'll bless the youth choir as they sing this morning, God. I pray that you'll bless the preachers who brings a message to us, God. I pray for the ones that couldn't be here, dear Lord, that might be sick or shut in. I pray, God, you'll just bless this church, bless this offering. In Christ's name, amen.
If you can't tell yet, I'm not used to doing everything, so it's a little slow getting up here. I'm thankful and blessed to have Brother Logan Youngblood. He's going to sing our special this morning, and I know it'll be a blessing to you. Thank you.
Well, I thought that number one would always be me, and I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees is where I've learned to sing. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Well, I thought I could do a lot on my own, and I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees is where I've learned to sing. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. And I think that I'll make Jesus my own. And when I'm in trouble, on his name I'll call. And if I don't trust him, I'd be less than a man. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees I've learned to say, Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. And Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at the throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, hail my Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling,
if you don't know him, now's your opportunity.
Do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, would I see thy face, heal my wounded, broken spirit, save me by thy grace. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me, whom have I on earth beside thee?
Savior,
Savior, hear my humble cry. Why?
You're still standing. I'm just going to sing that last verse again. Altar's open. You say you should have an altar call at the close of the service. No, you should have an altar call when the Lord is calling. Amen. When he's calling, amen, do not pass me by, Lord. You may be calling someone right now. You need to come. Come for salvation. Come get right with God. Come get your prayer answered. Mind the Lord this morning. Say, I'll wait till the end of the service. May not be calling right then. Obedience better than sacrifice. One more verse, brother.
altar's open.
Spring of all my comfort, more than life to me, whom have I on earth beside thee?
Seated. For the sweet service we've had thus far. If you'll be ready to sing that song at the invitation that closes the service, I'll appreciate that so much. And Brother Jason did a great job this morning. Pray for Brother Randy Ballinger, our song director. He had some very severe, serious spine surgery this week, and is doing a little bit better, we hope. So let's pray for him. Brother David Rask is going to come pray with us and for us. As you turn the Bibles, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Book of Romans, chapter 8.
Good morning. It is good to be in the Lord's house. Very quickly, three things in my life I can think of this morning that changed my life forever. August 23rd, 1980, I got married. It was a military wedding. Well, there was guns present. February 17th, 2011, a fellow had been drinking. He run over me. Changed my life forever. I will never be the same again. But January 75, I gave my heart to the Lord. My life will never be the same again. I will meet you in the morning, is our heart's desire. God bless you. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, today, I went to bed at 3 o'clock last night. Husbands with a good friend. We don't know, folks. We don't know. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for allowing us to come to your house. It is good to be in your house. Lord, you don't take all our problems away, but with our hand in the Master's hand, oh, how good it is. Thank you, Lord, for this hour. Be with our pastor. Oh, pray. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother David. Romans chapter 8. We read one verse. Look at that beautiful verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? Of course, we don't have time to go back and review what things, but I want to concentrate on the next phrase in that verse for a few minutes this morning. If God be for us, who can be against us? Normally, if you hear a preacher preach that verse, and I have too before, and normally we... I've never heard anybody do it differently. I'm sure some have. I have. Don't major on the first part of the verse. They major on the second. And then we say, and rightly so, God's for us. Nobody can be against us. But I want to concentrate this morning on the first part of that phrase. If God be for us. That's a question. Now, we realize, geometry was probably my favorite subject all the way through school. Of course, Bible is now, but back in those days, and I love geometry. If given an angle or a line or say, and then you have two knowns, then you know beyond the shadow of a doubt the other one. Well, if God is for us, if we know that, then we know the last part of the equation, we know it's all true, then nobody can stand against us. And we could preach that last part, but the more important part, if God be for us. Now, if you're saved and living right, he's for you. But there's a lot of things we need to explore about that verse, because when you just make a statement, well, God's for us, nobody can be against us. The Bible says, if God's for us. It's not that he doesn't want to be for us. It's not that he wants to take our side and do all things for us that we need done. But there's a question. We have to answer that question. Of course, I can answer it, but the Word of God can. Turn your Bibles, please, as we explore these scriptures in 1 John chapter 2. The first thing we have to answer, we want to look at five things quickly this morning, and this: if God be for us, we have to have proof in our hearts. Now, God knows if our heart's right with him. But there has to be proof of our relationship with him if God's going to be for us. Now, if he's for us, don't have any problems. We know if he's for us, everything's taken care of. It's a done deal. But the big question remains, if he's for us, all things will take care of themselves. But there has to be proof of that relationship with God. We're answering the question. Verse 1. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children... He's writing to us, and the scripture in Romans we read, he's writing to save people. But the question is, are we saved? And the question is, I had two boys, and some of you have children, some have more. My wife and I wish we'd had more, but God didn't see permission for us to have more. But those little children, when they were little, they had to obey me and my wife, and when they didn't, there were consequences. If they wanted to have a sweet fellowship at home, now they were my children no matter what, their union was positive. But sometimes in their life, we have, you're married perhaps, hopefully. And if you are, you have that union with your wife, but then there has to be communion with your wife, doesn't there? So he's writing, my little children, And we are, if you're saved, a little child. We're not wrong. We've been bought with the price. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. He gives us full proof that we have to have of the relationship that we must have with him to be called his children. Now, if you're a child of God, you have union with him. That can't be broken, but like I said, the communion with him can be broken, and often it is because we sin. He wouldn't have said, if any man sin. And James says, if any man, that's you, that's me, knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. No one here or no one in existence this morning can say, I have not sinned. After you got saved, of course we do. You're still in the flesh. Doesn't give you an excuse to sin, but the flesh is enmity against God, and the soul within us sinneth not, but the flesh, the thoughts we have, all kinds of things. But he tells us the remedy here, but this is proof of our relationship with God. Remember, we're answering the question, if God's for us, well, is he for you? If you have a relationship with him and you're saved and you're one of his children, you do, but the communion has to be with him daily. And when you sin, you have to confess it, and he will be sure to forgive you your sins. And then he said in verse 3, if we keep his commandments. He said, my commandments are not grievous. Have you ever heard someone say, and I have in testimony service or alone, it's so hard to be a Christian. If you're a Christian, it's hard not to be a Christian, because his commandments keep coming to your mind, and when you break them, God chastises you, and he compels us to come back and get right with God. So we have to have proof that we're one of his children, walking right, doing right, if we want to claim the last part of that verse. If God be for us, who shall be against us? Nobody could be against us if we're walking. So we have to have proof of his relationship. Well, second of all, we have to have a pattern for our life. It's clearly pointed out in the precious word of God. Look at verse 5. The pattern for our lives. It's all laid out. We're talking about making sure God's for us. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. And if we don't know that we're in him, how could you ever think, prove positive to say, well, God's for me, if you have proof of his relationship, and if and only if you have the pattern for our lives. Now, I'm not saying we have it all the time, but hey, he told us in this verse of scripture we just read that he does forgive sins. He's our advocate. Verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Pretty poof puff. I love geometry and the reason being. And I love the precious word of God, because if these things are true in my life and yours, if I have proof of a relationship with him, and if it is a proven pattern of my life, then I know that I know nothing can be against me. But the word if still lingers, does it not? Okay, proof his relationship, pattern for our lives. Look at the power through prayer. Everyone that was near you, turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, as we're reading, and when we sin, we know we have an advocate, we come to him, and when the pattern of our life doesn't meet the expectations that he requires of us, as he is in this world, so are we, then prayer. And there's a pattern of prayer. John chapter 14, verse 13. Look at this power that we can have through prayer. It will help straighten our life out. It will help know in our heart that we have proof of that relationship. It will help us in that pattern of life that we have to have if we know that we know God's for us. Now, if he's for us, everything's taken care of. Everything. Verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So if we come to him and we want that pattern of our life to be better, then power through prayer. We ask in his name. We have problems in life. Some people have problems with temper. Other people have problems with different things. The morning is too short to list the things potentially that we have problems with. If every one of us would take an hour and be truthful, and nobody's going to look at it but you, because if people were looking at it, you wouldn't be apt to write it. Just be truthful, and as soon as you write it, you could throw it away and burn it. It would take us a long time to list all the things in the flesh that we have problems with. While I was sitting up here this morning praying, the Lord showed me that in my past, and I hope to correct it, I have had a problem with pride. You've had a problem with pride? Yeah. Do you ever have a problem with pride? Making sure that people speak well of you. On. Pride's a bad thing. And we have that problem. So that can be overcome through the power of prayer, because he just told us how to do that. Read again. And whatsoever you have, you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He wants to get glory in your life and mine. And the only way he's going to do it is for you and I to make sure that the pattern of life that he told us to have coincides with his pattern that he has set before us. And by the way, he doesn't change a pattern along the way. A lot of the things in life changes. Society tries to change, and everything changes. But God's word will never change. And what he expects of you and me is the same he expected back in the old days when the apostles and the people of old proclaimed the word of God. He has never changed. Let's keep reading. Verse 14, and if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You have a problem with the flesh, your flesh? I know we have problems with other people's flesh. And often, no doubt, we pray, Lord, straighten them out. And if they would pray that prayer, he would help them straighten out. But the problem is you and I don't want to see our own problems. But if you're sincere about the problems you have, that keeps you from having a pattern of your life and proof of relationship with him, then this is the way that we can overcome that. Because he said, ask anything in my name, that'll all do. He'd help us straighten our own lives out and give us four square for God if we'd ask him and sincerely believe it. Verse 15. All right, this is a good one. If you love me, keep my commandments. He's already told us to keep his commandments as a proof of our relationship and the pattern of our life. And if we aren't keeping his commandments, and I know all of us would say, well, I don't cheat and I don't steal and I don't do all these things. I'm talking about everything that's so easily beset us. The problems we have that keeps us from being what we ought to be, the pattern of our life being like he wants us to be. Then he says, if we love him, we will seek with all our heart to keep that commandments, knowing that he can help us. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And he was telling this before he ascended to heaven, and he did, and the Holy Spirit's with us. And now the prayer and the power through the prayer that we pray will help us overcome the flesh, buffet the flesh to bring it under subjection, and have a pattern of life that brings glory and honor to him. And then when we hear that verse read, or when we read it in our own minds and say it in our own mind, if God be for us, who can be against us? And we'll instantly know, I've got proof, according to the word of God, of a relationship with him. And the pattern of my life is more and more coinciding with what he wants me to be. And how does it accomplish? The power of prayer. Fourthly, let's look at some promises from God's holy word. Once we do these things, then let's look at John 14, verse 21. John 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments. Now, he's already told us, if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. Now, we've got him. We fail, and you'll fail again today. And when we fail, we ask through the power of prayer, remember. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself in him. Look at verse 23. And Jesus answered and said to him, now Judas Iscariot, of course, I'm not even going to read it. Bottom line is, who cares what the enemy says? And Judas Iscariot is the one that betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus now answers questions to the sinner and to the saved alike. But here's the answer to the question. If a man love me, he will keep my words. It's not a question, is it? If God be for us, who shall be against us? And here he explains it. We keep all these things, and I won't reiterate any more about that. But he says, if we keep in them, we can. It proves, of course, that we love him. And then he says, oh, it's so important. We really, God's in heaven, the creator God, and sitting by his right hand is his son, Christ Jesus, making intercession to the Father for you and I. He's our advocate. We already read that. And when we sin, and if we sin, and we do sin, then we confess that sin, and we get rid of the pride. And it's the hardest thing to do, is it not? A lot of people pray, and I've heard it, and I've said it before, and every time I do, it seems as though God smacks me over the head and says, what do you mean, if? That word, if. Do a reference sometime. It's a long study. And look at the times if is mentioned in the Word of God. And when we pray, sometimes we say to the Lord, Lord, if I've sinned. What do you mean, if I've sinned? That's not confession. We have to confess our sins. Of course we sin. And the flesh don't like to admit it. And God wants us to admit, and then he forgives us. And then the Father is pleased with us. Remember what the verse we read in Romans 8:31. If God be for us, the Father, how do you make God for us? Simple, simple, simple. And my Father will love him. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And when he is with us, giving us daily advice, and we're worshiping him, then we can say, not only is God, if God is for us, but God is for us, and therefore nothing can come against us. Proof positive. One last thing, we'll be closing. Not only the proof of relationship and the pattern for lives, the power through prayer, and the promises from God. But I want to look lastly at the possessions that we receive from God. God is, remember Malachi told us, and we already knew it in the Word of God. God says to Malachi, writing to us, I would open up the windows of heaven and bestow upon you blessings that you wouldn't be able to receive. Sometimes we just ask God for one little blessing. He's got a lot more than that. And you can't imagine how many blessings he has in store for his children. And the world's against us and coming against us, and your flesh is coming against us. But the verse said, if God be for us, who or what can come against us? So here's some promises from God's precious word and the possessions that God has for us. Let's read those in John chapter 15 and verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Separate message. Those verses, and I don't have time to dwell on it very long. But it all sums up, does it? It helps us answer that question. If God be for us. And this is the way we know he's for us. Therefore, if he's for us, all these things were promised to us. Let's look. First of all, he says, if you abide in my love, we do that by confessing our faults when we sin, and we get more and more like him. And then he says, his joy is full, and he wants his joy to be our joy, that we can rejoice together, knowing that God's for us and he takes care of everything. And then every one of us have the ability to love. You ever notice it's so easy to love people that love you? And you love your spouse, you love your children, and it's an unconditional love. And no matter what they do, you're going to love them. But isn't it easier to love them when they love you back? And God loves us with an everlasting love. He died for us. But we're talking about having the ability to say in their hearts, I don't have a worry in the world because I know that God's for me, and therefore nothing can come against me. Therefore, it gives us his joy, and he wants his joy to be our joy. And then, of course, we have that ability to love. The ability to love sometimes is really hard within ourselves. Those people that honor and mean, and they treat you wrong, not just today, but tomorrow, and if you see them next week, be the same thing. And we need the ability to love them, because that's where it's all at. The ability to love those people that aren't lovable. But in this, he says, I'll give you that ability to love them. And then when you love them, you can forgive them. Unless you forgive them, God will not forgive you. He's very clear in his word about things like that. If you forgive others, he will forgive you. That word if just keeps creeping back, doesn't it? And then he tells us that we have been chosen and ordained of God. And he chose me. He came to me when I was in sin. And I couldn't find him because I was blind spiritually. And I was dead in trespasses and sin. How can a dead man do anything? He chose me. He came to me. It's not his will that any should perish. God's will is that everyone to get saved, and he comes and convicts, and then the choice is ours. But thank God he came to me. And then he says in these verses, he gives us the ability to bear fruit. Wouldn't it be awful if you were had an orchard of apples, peaches, whatever it was, and you spent all the time planting trees, and they came up, and maybe they bloomed, maybe they didn't, but they never produced fruit. And then he gives, and that's your life and mine. If you want to bear fruit, give glory to God, and let it be in your children, your children's children, and their children, that God gives us the ability to bear fruit, to love him, and to give honor and glory to him. And he tells us how to do this in these verses. And then he said that that fruit should remain. No, it's apple season around here, and apple crops are wonderful, I understand. But if you take that apple, of course it will wither away, and if you don't take of it and can it or dry it or eat or something. But the fruit, he tells us, we can have the fruit of loving others, and telling others about the joy of God and seeing their lives change. Thank you for the prayer, brother. God was so much in the service this morning. I pray you prayed that the three important things happen in his life, and it just keeps on lasting. The things that God does for you, it just keeps on bearing fruit. Keeps on bearing fruit. And lastly, our prayer is answered. Who among us this morning would not want every prayer that we pray to be answered? And he promises us if we pray in his name, and if the reason for that prayer is to give him honor and glory, so the Father can look down to you and I and give us the joy that we need in their hearts, so the fruit will be in their heart and it will be remain so others can see that fruit. If God be for us, then who can be against us? And I don't have any time at all to deal with the last part, because we could go through and we could find out all the ways God could be for us and has been for us and will be for us scripturally. But the bottom line is we know that if God's for us, nothing can come against us. We can elaborate on that, but the bottom line is we know it because he's almighty, he's powerful. Nothing that God ordains and purposes in his heart can be changed. Satan can't change it. You and the world may try to change it, but if God purposes to do something with you or for you or against you, nothing can change it. I've said before, you know, railroad tracks right back here behind the church, and people that live close by, maybe it wakes them up in the morning, whatever, and you might get tired of it. I'm just using this illustration to say, I don't want that train coming through, that big old locomotive. I'll go to a mile down the road, and I'll just stand there in the morning, and I'll just block it. Good luck. If you can't block a locomotive, or you can't stop the winds and the rain and the forces of nature, or stopping the lightning bolt, who would be so dumb to say, I don't like that lightning, stop. Hundreds of thousands of volts in that lightning bolt. God created the lightning. Just simple illustrations to know how powerful God is. And if God chooses to keep anything or anybody from being against you, he has power to do it. That we know. But I'm concentrating this morning on the first part. If God is for us, you can know it, and he will be and can be. So it's really up to us, isn't it? Stand this morning, your head's bowed. Brother Logan, if you'll come sing that beautiful song again, thank you that the Lord chose you to sing that song to us this morning, right on time. Right on target. But the bottom line is, you and I. You can say the words, but deep in your heart, do you know that you know? You have proof of this relationship, and you have the ability to say that I know God is for me. If he is, all question answered. But can you say that this morning? If you can't, altar's open. You may be lost this morning. And if you're not one of his children, as we read in 1 John, then the only way you can be one of his children is be born again. Sing a song. Altar's open. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart this morning. Come to him.
Ask me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. Why?